Now this morning I want to talk about stewardship. Responsibility towards God is the foundation of Christian life. If you don't have a solid spiritual foundation, the winds of adversity or the tides of events or the tragedies of life will simply do you in. Gregory Elder tells of growing up on the Atlantic coast where, as a child, he spent many summer hours on the beach working and building intricate sandcastles. One year, however, for several days in a row, some bullies were at the beach, and each day they would come by and kick his creations to pieces. One day, Gregory thought he would try an experiment. He took some cinder blocks and some chunks of concrete, and he made them the foundation of his sandcastles. He built his kingdom on top of the rocks. When the bullies appeared, Gregory wisely disappeared. But when the local toughs went about the business of kicking his castles to pieces, their bare feet had met their match. The church itself is built on a rock, on a cornerstone, on a foundation that is Jesus Christ. When Peter confessed Jesus as the Son of God, our Lord said, on this confession that He is the Christ, He said, I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. Jesus once told a parable about a man who hears his word and does them. And he said such a man would be like a wise person who built his house upon a rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. By the same token, Jesus went on to say that the man who heard his words and did not do them was like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain fell and the winds came and the floods came and they beat against that house and it fell. Then Jesus added, and great was the fall of it. You know, I'm convinced that the ultimate test of our faith is our possessions. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And at first Jesus replied that he should keep the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. Well, the rich young ruler had done all of that. He had an outstanding character, and in that sense he appeared to be a godly man. So he said to Jesus, all of these I've done from my youth. And then Jesus really got down to business with him. He said, one thing you still lack. Is there one thing you lack? One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Do you remember what happened? The godly character of the young man was built on sand. The Bible says, he heard this and he became sad, for he was very rich. Isn't that interesting? We can be godly people outwardly. We can do many things to obey the Lord. But if our stewardship is not in line with God's will for us, we're building our Christian lives on a foundation that won't hold. Several years ago on New Year's Day, the Tournament of Roses was being held out in California, and one of the most beautiful floats suddenly sputtered and came to a halt. The truck underneath it was out of gas. The whole parade was stopped until somebody got a can to bring some fuel. Now, the amusing thing about this particular float was that it had been entered by the Standard Oil Company. With all of its vast oil resources, there was its truck out of gas. Now, I'm convinced that we Christians who try to build a spiritual life apart from right stewardship are going to be a beautiful float out of gas. Our material commitment to God is the ultimate test of our faith. It is the ultimate foundation on which we must build with Jesus as our Savior. But with all of the spiritual reserves that you and I as Christians have at our disposal, many of us are afloat out of gas. You see, life will always have its bullies who will try to destroy us. There will be times of despair, of illness, of failure, or of disappointment, of temptation that will beat upon our castles. And without the foundation of stone, that ultimate commitment, we will be destroyed. The falling rain, the floods, the waves, the winds of adversity will just bring us crashing down. As Jesus said, great will be the fall thereof. But for the man who has made the final commitment, who has committed all he has and is to Jesus Christ, who has put himself at the Lord's disposal, will have built on a rock that will not fail him. Our scripture for this morning was all about stewardship principles. It talks about what we do with our money. A man once told me, he said, you know, I used to come to your church, but all you did was talk about money. I was a little suspicious of that, and I said, how many times have you been to my church? He said, once. I said, well, I'm going to tell you, you were lucky. He said, what do you mean I was lucky? I said, well, I believe stewardship is basic to Christian life. I believe you can't get your heart right with God unless you get your stewardship right. If your stewardship isn't right, your heart isn't right. And I don't preach on stewardship every Sunday, I said. But I'm glad I did that one Sunday you were there, because if you ever do accept Jesus as your Savior, you know about stewardship and you can get it right to start with. In verse 7 of our scripture this morning, we read, each one must do as he has made up his mind. That means simply that Christian stewardship is an act of the will. Now, a lot of us are not tithers, and I don't know what we're waiting for to impel us. The Bible says to be a good steward is an act of our will. Each one must do as he has made up his mind. A lot of us blame not tithing on inflation, or the kids, or college, or debts, or all of the above. But those have nothing to do with our stewardship. St. Paul says we're to make up our minds. You decide what kind of person you're going to be. Being faithful is an act of the will. Sometimes people say to me, when I clean up my debts, when I get a raise, when I get my car paid off, then I will tithe. But let me tell you a secret. That time will never come. And I'll tell you why it'll never come. It's a spiritual principle that St. Paul told us in our scripture for this morning. It says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. When I'm obedient to God, when I obey His commands, when I build my life on the rock of faithful stewardship, when I put my possessions at His disposal, my act of obedience opens a door to God in my life. To be able to tithe, I have to start tithing. You see, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And if I'm waiting to be rich enough to tithe, I'll never do it, because he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. The rich young ruler didn't trust God. He went away sad because he had a lot. Listen, he didn't know what riches were. He had no idea what God might want to do for him. If he had been faithful with his possessions, he would have opened an incredible door for God to walk through and to bless his life. He sows abundantly will reap abundantly. Now, I've said three things. I said stewardship is the foundation of our obedience to God. I said, secondly, to be a good steward is an act of the will. And I said, thirdly, to be able to tithe, you've got to tithe. In our scripture for this morning, Paul tells us some things that will happen to us when we get right with God in our stewardship. There are four things he tells us. And this fourth thing has two parts to it. So if you want to make an outline of what I'm saying, four things now. Four spiritual principles. And here's the first one. Verse 8, Paul tells us that God will provide us with every blessing in abundance. You get more than you bargain for. You don't just get blessed if you give. You get blessed in abundance. Could you use some blessings this morning? Would you like to get blessed in your business? Would you like to get blessed in your marriage? Would you like to get your children blessed? Well, right there in the Bible, God makes us an incredible promise. When we're faithful stewards, God blesses us in abundance. Do you realize you're the recipient of blessings you don't even know about? There were bad times that happened to all of us. But think of the times when bad things didn't happen. How many of you didn't lose your job last year? How many of you didn't get cancer last year? How many of you didn't go to the hospital last year and have an operation? How many of you didn't lose a close loved one last year? You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, God, show me a replay, because I want to see all the times nothing bad happened to me. I want to see all the times your blessings in abundance protected me from evil. Blessings in abundance. The second thing Paul does is to share another promise. Promise number two, not only do we get abundant blessings, but he says this, you'll always have enough of everything. If you were a faithful steward and tithed your income, and if you went beyond the tithe and made an offering to God, what would you have to do without? If you tithe, if you went beyond that and gave an offering, what would you have to do without? And Paul says, nothing. Nothing. He says, we'll always have enough of everything. That's certainly been true in our life. We have never been able to outgive God. Whatever our needs have been, God has more than met them. How many of you tithers starved to death last year? How many of you tithers were naked last year because you didn't have clothes? How many of you had to sleep in the street because you didn't have a home? That doesn't mean God doesn't sometimes change my needs. I think God does that too. As a Christian, I don't always want the things I used to want before I was a Christian. Haven't you found that to be true in your life? But what I do want and what I do need that's in God's will, He always supplies it. Now you try that in your life and you see if it won't work for you. If you're faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you, and you'll always have enough of everything. So abundant blessings, enough of everything. And then the third thing that Paul tells us in the Bible reading this morning is this. When you give according to God's plan, you will have more to give than ever before. Are there things you'd like to give to and you can't afford it? If you give according to God's plan, you'll have more to give than ever before. Does that surprise you? It does me. It's been going on in my life for a long time, but I'm still surprised by it. I'm surprised at how wonderfully God works. You see, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of generosity. And I used to say, and I still say jokingly sometimes, that I'd like for all the wealthy people in Central to get the gift of generosity. But I'm just teasing. What I'm really praying for is for all of us to get the gift of generosity. You see, when you accept Jesus as your Savior and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts is the gift of generosity, and I want all of God's people to have that gift. I think what happens is something like this. I make a decision by an act of my will to obey God in my finances. And something happens to me. God begins to change my heart. Not only does He change my wants and needs and desires, He begins to change my heart and gives me a heart for others. And sure enough, just as the Bible promises, the more I give, the more I have to give. The more I want to give, the more I'm able to give. Sidney and I have been really interested to see how, as we've been faithful to give our tithes to the storehouse, to the church, that God has made us able to give to other things. Something funny happened to me the other day. I got a letter asking for some money, and it really touched my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I had a big check sent to this request. But I decided that that really wasn't the Holy Spirit. And I really didn't want to give that much money to that organization. So I went to get it, but the mailman already picked it up. So I thought, well, God really wanted that organization to have it. And His Spirit spoke to me. And when my human spirit wanted to take it back, God wouldn't let me. God gives us a heart for others, and He makes it possible for us to give. So already we have three promises. We get abundant blessings, we have enough of everything, and the more we give, the more we have to give. Now notice the fourth thing in our text for this morning. You don't get what you bargain for. Now, do you like to get what you bargain for? Have you ever gone to get buy something and get a great bargain, only to come home and discover it's a piece of junk, and you got gypped? We always like to get what we bargain for. And then you say something like, well, you only get what you pay for. But our text for this morning tells us we are getting more than we bargained for. There are two big words in our text. If you look in your Bibles or at the text printed in your bulletin, you'll see two important words, multiply and increase. First, the text says God will multiply our resources. Could you use some multiplied resources? I know I could. Does that mean I'll get more money if I tithe? Well, I wouldn't recommend going out buying a car on the assumption that that would happen. Now, many times that does happen, and I've heard people, and you have too, here in this church, testify that as they begin to tithe, God multiplied their financial resources. And that happens. But that's not what I think of when I think of God multiplying our resources. Do you remember the story of the little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus? There they were out in a wilderness area. Jesus was preaching and teaching. And the day grew late and the people were hungry, and McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken hadn't franchised out there yet, and there was no place to eat. And this little boy took his lunch, 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes, and he placed them in the hands of Jesus. And Jesus took that and he fed the multitude. And that's how I think of God multiplying our resources. Now, how does God do that? He takes what we have and makes it go further. And how does He do that? I don't know. But what I do know is God's promise is sure. I have seen it operate in my life and in the lives of others time and time again. But not only does God multiply, the Bible says He increases the harvest, listen to this, of our righteousness. How much righteousness do you have this morning? How much goodness, how much obedience, how much godliness, how much holiness do you have? Have you got as many things right in your life as you would like to have? You know, I suspect a lot of us this morning have things going on in our lives that we're not very proud of and that we're not happy about. Is that true for you? Well, listen, the Bible says that God will take what little right you've got in your life and He's going to multiply the harvest. Would you like that? Boy, I would like that in my life. And that's exactly what Jesus Himself says. He says, if we have faith, even as a little tiny mustard seed, that God will take that little dibby-dab of faith and multiply it into a tree. If we do not have the righteousness we ought to have, that God wants us to have, could it be because our stewardship is out of whack? You see, we have a promise that if we are faithful to build our spiritual lives on the foundation of right stewardship, God will increase the harvest of our righteousness. And if some of us are having a crop failure, it's because our stewardship is out of whack. A man named Herbert Jackson was a new missionary sent overseas, and he was assigned a car that he discovered wouldn't start unless it was pushed. But Dr. Jackson was up to the challenge. Once he got that car started, if he was just going to be out of it for a little while, he'd just leave it running. Or if he had to turn it off, he'd park it on a hill so he could use gravity to start it. 2 years later, when he was transferred, he was proudly explaining to his replacement how he had overcome this handicap of the car that wouldn't start. But the new missionary lifted the hood and said, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the problem is this loose cable." And he tightened a bolt, got in the car, turned the key, and the engine roared to life. For 2 years, the trouble he had gone to was needless. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept him from putting that power to work. A loose stewardship connection can keep God's power from surging, from working in your life. God wants to multiply our resources, to increase our harvest of righteousness. He wants to give us more than we bargained for. But the power won't work if we have a loose connection. Are you connected this morning? You see, whether you're connected or not is up to you, because it's by an act of your will. You must make up your mind, as the Bible says. And we will never get our hearts right with God until we also get our stewardship right. Let us pray.